Dwight Garner is a book critic for the New York Times. He also writes the American Beauties column. It celebrates books that catch his eye, even if in some cases the authors and the books themselves are long gone. Well, one recent column caught our eye. Here's how it opens. The late Stanley Elkin's third novel, The Dick Gibson Show, is not improving to read. Its heart is not in the right place. It squeezes the blackheads behind the ears of your imagination. It's a Diane Arbus walk on the unreconciled side. It's among the most powerful and funny American novels I know. Okay, we'll bite. And Dwight Garner joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Hi.
Hi. Good to be here.
Oh, it's good to talk to you again. We love this column and this one in particular. The book was Elkin's third novel. It's about a fictitious overnight radio host in the decades after World War II. Tell us more. Who's this fictitious host?
Well, Dick Gibson. It's called The Dick Gibson Show, and it's not his real name. I mean, sometimes this fellow goes by Tex Ellery or Marshall Main or Harold Hardy, and we never really learn his real name. And in a way, that's Elkin's point. You go on the radio, and you sort of can become a new person. You can reinvent yourself.
Well, as you write, this Dick Gibson in this late night, you know, after midnight shift, when things are spoken over the cooling and ticking airwaves, talks about what?
Well, really everything. I mean, in a way, having a late night radio show and telling the story of this novel through the different voices of the people who come on Dick Gibson's show is just a brilliant conceit for a novel because it allows Elkin just to inhabit one voice after another. And as the novel goes on, the voices get stranger and stranger and the night grows long and there may or may not be a gun under the table. And, you know, the stories just get very odd.
You read it in college. Now you say it probably wouldn't be assigned. It would require more trigger warnings than a Roy Rogers movie, because there are stories of violence against women, old men fiddling with young men in movie theaters, belches of casual racism, cruelty and abandonment and distress peek from beneath every curtain. It doesn't sound like a nice book, so why is it such a compelling book?
Well, in a way, that's why it's so compelling. I mean, Elkin just didn't have as many filters as many other writers did. And you get the sense reading him that he is sort of closer to the grain than a lot of other writers. He is not trying to put a polite face on anything in this world. And the kind of stuff that his characters say, you get the sense that he's speaking from a dark place, but from a real place.
Yeah, you can scan it for wordplay, you write, which Elkin's wordplay often reads like Shakespeare by way of Saul Bellow. Tell us more about Elkin's.
Well, first of all, let me just say, I mean, Elkins was a word guy. I mean, a lot of writers write brilliant onrushing plots. Elkin just tried to flood the page. Every sentence is just this quasi-work of genius, and he just sort of never wastes a word. Elkin is an interesting man. He was born in St. Louis in 1930. For most of his adult life, he had multiple sclerosis, and he wrote about that in one of his novels. It sort of gave him this larger, I think, sense of humanity. There's a sense of darkness, a sense of understanding the kind of things people have to overcome.
He lived 1930 to 1995. The contents of his novel leave you a bit sick, you write. His talent leaves you wasted, too. This book is a landslide of language, and it's unfair somehow that so many gifts were bestowed on one writer. But may we say, the same is often true of you, Dwight Garner. Sentences here are just lovely. You write of Dick Gibson, again, this late-night host. Late at night, the ids of his callers and guests flash like dorsal fins. He traps into what he calls the range of the strange. Just as someone who's a book critic, and you're now sharing with us these somewhat lost books, this one we found used copies of, does it inspire you to write better?
I mean, I think it does. I mean, I think that no one would try to write like Stanley Elkin because he's a genius, you know. And there are times when it's funny. You can read a book critic writing about a writer. There are some writers who have very dynamic styles, you know, a John Updike or a Tom Wolfe. And you'll sometimes see a critic try to sort of mimic their style and in the doing take a pratfall because they're not easily imitated. But I do think that reading Stanley Elkin gets your juices flowing. And I recommend him to any would-be creative writer and any would-be critic, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so what else should we be reading? His books.
Well, I mean, this is a great place to start, particularly The Dick Gibson Show. You should know it if you're in radio or even if you're a podcaster. It's just one of these landmark books about a field.
I want to stop you there because you point out these were in the decades after World War II. You can still drive around parts, you know, most of the country and hear after midnight these wonderful AM, you know, characters. But this was a unique time that sort of, again, he wrote this in 1971. It's very prescient. I mean, it kind of foresaw the internet and, you know, online blogging and a lot of the partisan voices that we're hearing now.
He did. And he this is a great moment in the novel in which he starts to think what will happen when you combine his voice over the radio with his callers phoning in over the telephone. And he comes to see the telephone as it's a kind of pre-internet. I mean, he didn't know the internet at this time. But, you know, what one voice can do at home in their own living room, calling into a talk show, the kind of power that voice could have getting out over the airwaves.
You write, Elkin considers how the telephone can make every home in America its own potential broadcasting station and every American his own potential star. But what else should we read of Elkin?
Well, his novel, The Franchisor, from 1976, is about this fellow who just collects franchises. I mean, you know, famous companies. And there's something all-American in the way that he wants to align himself with the great American brands. And it's also, like The Dick Gibson Show, very dark and very strange. And another book of his is called The Magic Kingdom, from 1985, about a man who takes some terminally ill kids to Disney World for a final trip. And, of course, Elkin being Elkin, you know, there's more dark meditations on illness and death than you would expect from a book that largely takes place at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay, so duly noted. That's Dwight Garner. He writes the American Beauties column in the New York Times, pointing out the books that we should be noticing. We'll link you to his column about Stanley Elkin's third novel, The Dick Gibson Show. It's from 1971. I can't wait to read it. Dwight, thank you.
Thank you for having me.